Well, it is my privilege this morning to be able to share the word with you, and I know the offering is still going on, so I'll kind of pause for a moment. It's always exciting to see our young people as they graduate and move forward and to the next phase, next section of their life and the journey and adventure that's ahead of them. It's really exciting, especially as I looked, you know, this morning, and I was, you know, several of them here that were, I've seen them grow and, you know, come to the knowledge of the Lord and be filled with the Spirit and be praying for one another and spending time at the altar. And it's so awesome to see, you know, that God is equipping them and readying them to go out into the world and to just be a light wherever they go. And so I know that's a youth pastor joy, you know, to see what we've gone through and sending them out and believing God has some awesome things for them. So we're going to dismiss the kids. That was what I'm missing there. Okay, I knew there was something. Time fill. So kids, you're dismissed, and you're going to have a great time back there. That's what Don was nodding at me about. Okay, wasn't he agreeing? Yeah. Okay. Yes, no. All right. But it is such a joy to be able to see that happen and be a part of impacting in their lives and pouring into them. And as we have an opportunity to share with our graduates, we celebrate their accomplishments. We celebrate all of the things, the hard work that they've put in. And I asked God this morning that He would give me a message that would be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to them, but also to us. Because I don't want you guys to tune out and go, well, he's just talking to those three in the front row. But it's to all of us. And I really believe that God has answered that prayer. And, you know, as I think about this morning, as we got up and, you know, maybe you you made a ton of decisions already this morning. You decided, you know, like how many times to hit the snooze or just to hit it and stay in bed. And I'll put that in for the people who are listening to the podcast right now. Okay, later in the week. And maybe you decided, you know, what to wear or what your kids were going to wear. And, you know, you went through the whole routine and we're going to have some time to get breakfast and get through all of the morning stuff. 100 decisions, probably more. Now, I know those aren't, you know, make or break decisions, generally, you know, not long range impacting on our lives. But there are other decisions that come into our life that we will, that do have longer lasting impact. And decisions like, when you graduate, what school are you going to go to? What major are you going to focus your studies on? Or who are you going to date or marry? And there's big, long, high, heavy, impactful decisions that have to be made. And I'll let you know this, as the adults who are here who have graduated and gone on, those decisions never really stop. There's always another one around the corner. And so it can be overwhelming at times, and I've experienced that myself. I mean, I've made a lot of decisions, and some of them good, and some of them not so good. And so our desire is that we would hopefully make the right decisions. And the Bible talks about these life decisions and the worry that accompanies them and all of the kind of factors that go about it. And I wanted to just start with a scripture in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And we have it on the screen for you so you can follow along. If you have your Bible, feel free to open up to that as well. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and I ask that you would illuminate your word to our hearts, God, that you would speak to us, that you would grant your anointing to my words, God, that it wouldn't be mine, but they would be yours, Lord, and speak to our hearts, I pray. Change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that scripture is really, you know, it's one of those things where you could read it and go, well, I guess I can just throw caution to the wind and do whatever because, you know, God's going to take care of it. Don't worry about this stuff. Well, not quite true. If we look at that, it says that we're supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, there's some effort that is involved. And he said, then the rest of this stuff will take care of itself. Actually, God will take care of the rest of it if we focus and put him first. And I guess that's the jumping off point, is to say that, you know, first and foremost, we need to seek the Lord, to seek God, His kingdom in our life, His righteousness in our life. And then the rest of it is going to work itself out because God has a plan. And that's really cool because, you know, and all the students know, if you ask them, what's Pastor Mike's favorite scripture, they're going to tell you Jeremiah 29:11. And, you know, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, that is an amazing scripture. Now, we've read that. You've probably heard it. And you're just like, oh, yeah, great scripture. I like it. God has a plan for me. Cool. But I think we kind of miss the importance of that. When you take it and realize that if you pause for a minute and realize that the creator of the universe, the one who made everything that we see, the whole of everything that we can take in, down to the lowest level of the molecule, to the greatest mountain, to the stars in the sky, took time and set aside and strategized and planned a plan for me and you. That's like one of those, whoa. That's a wow moment. And that to realize that God says, I have this for you, I have this plan. And it's not hidden, it's not like, oh, I could tell this, but I'm not going to. No, He wants to share this plan with us. In fact, that scripture goes on, it says, you know, we'll seek Him and find Him when we seek Him with all our heart. And it ties right back into that first scripture that says, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He's going to add all the rest. And I've got to tell you from experience that personally I struggled with that. Because we probably all have at some point in our lives come to a place where we said, you know, I know that God has this plan. I mean, I know His word. I know it's true. I can trust that. But there's a part of us that doesn't want to let go and say, okay, God, You do what You want. There's a part of us that says, I think my plan might be a little better. And I don't know what part of us that is, but it's wrong. Because how could God, the creator of the universe, who made everything awesome, be wrong? His plan is to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And to me, that is just one of the things that I place my trust in, and say, God, You alone have a plan and a purpose and a calling for my life. And I wanted to kind of focus on that this morning as we talk about the call that we have on our lives. Now, I know right away I have to go and address this, because when I say that, well, somebody is called, immediately we go, oh, a missionary, a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher, you know, all of those, right? Scripturally, that's correct. But I believe that Scripture is very clear. God can call people to be engineers. He can call them to be missionaries. He can call them to be teachers. He can call them to be bank tellers. He can call them to be, you know, workers in a factory or landscapers or whatever other, you know, nursing. I mean, all of those areas, God can call us to. I really believe that, you know, He calls more to those than He calls to ministry or to missionary or ministry positions, because it is there's such a need for light all over the world in dark places. Because if He just called pastors to preach in churches, I mean, that's good, but we're going to miss so much opportunity to be able to share the gospel outside of these walls. Because if we can't get in the walls, or we're not going out, the gospel doesn't get out. And so I just wanted to say that when I talk about the call, you can be called to a vocation, to a job, to a work field, just as much as you can be called to preach or to be a missionary or whatever, or evangelist. And God needs that. And so, you know, during Jesus' time on earth, He was questioned about the commandments, basically how to follow God. The commandments were given by God to Moses and said, you know, this is how you follow God. This is how you honor Me, by following these 10 commandments. And they asked Him, they said, you know, which of these commandments of the 10 is the greatest? Which is the most important? And Jesus replied in Mark 12:30-31. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So Jesus sums up all of the commandments into this statement that basically says, love God and love others. And I think about that as we talk about being called, you know, so no matter what we're called to in life, whether it's a career path or ministry or whatever it might be, no matter what we're called to, the primary directive and our first responsibility is to love God with everything that's within us. To love God with everything. That's our first priority. And I tell students, this is not about so much what we're doing, but who we are in Christ. You know, you can do all of the churchy things. You can attend church. You can give to missions. You can give tithes. You can do all of these things. You can read your Bible. But if you're really not growing and having that relationship with the Lord, we're not loving the Lord with every part of us, we really are not fulfilling the greatest commandment. It's got to be the first thing in our life, is focusing on the Lord. So if we're going to be going to the nursing field, I mean, the first thing is to let Jesus fill us and be in relationship with Him. Number one, that's the first thing. That has to be. You know, we're all designed to have a relationship with God. We were designed to be in fellowship. The original plan was not to be separated from God, but to be in fellowship, to be in relationship with Him. And so, and this kind of goes in, it says, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. I mean, that's everything. That's not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, if you come on Wednesday. It's all the time. It's not just my Sunday persona, and then Monday through Saturday, I'm somebody else. Oh yeah, I got to pick that back up on Sunday. No, it's not at all. It's to love the Lord your God with everything that's within you all the time. And it's, you know, I think it's important that it says it's our heart, because our actions flow from what's in our heart. You know, if it's a love for God, we're going to do things that show that love. We're going to show that hope and that future that we've received to others around us. And so also our soul, it mentions that because I believe our eternal destiny has to be tied to Jesus. It has to be locked up in that, understanding that we love the Lord with everything. We're trusting Him with our eternity. I mean, that's and because this is so important that Jesus said, this is the first and most important commandment. So love the Lord your God above everything else, with everything. You know, with our mind, we have to make a conscious decision to serve God, to love Him, to follow Him. Because you know that we're living in a culture that is quickly going away from following God. In fact, it's going counter and trying to pull people away from following God. You know, the temptations and the struggles and all of the stuff that's coming against our young people today, it just seems like it's ever increasing in intensity and fervor, and there's so much, you know, counterculture. And so it's going to take a decision of the mind to say, I'm going to follow you, God. This day, I'm going to serve you. Each day, when we go to that job, when we, you know, go into our school or you know, even any other circles that we have to decide we're going to follow God. We have to decide, I'm going to love you, Lord, with all that's within me. And it also says that, you know, in our strength, in all of our strength. Because, you know, we have to apply ourselves. It's going to be hard work sometimes. It's going to be hard to, you know, like I've been just liking it to just hitting that, you know, snooze button in the morning. That is so easy. In fact, this morning I hit it and actually hit the off button. And then I woke up like 45 minutes later and I'm like, I still had plenty of time because I gave myself way extra this morning because we had some other tech stuff I was working on and make sure we were good to go. So it still worked out. But I was, you know, it's just so easy to hit that snooze button and just keep hitting it, you know. You have to make a decision to get out of bed. And then you have to make a decision, you know, I'm going to read my Bible today before I go to work. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to pray. That takes decision and it takes strength to be able to do that. And so I really believe that's why God says that we should do that. So as no matter what career field, whatever calling that God has called us to, we need to love the Lord in the midst of that. And then the second thing He says is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this is often harder than it sounds because you know those neighbors, okay? You have them, and those are coworkers and bosses and all of that, right? Okay, we know that's, and sometimes family, sometimes they're the hardest neighbors to love, but God calls us to love them, to show His love, the love that, and the grace and the forgiveness that He's given to us to share that with others. And so that is the second thing. He says the second thing we need to do is to love our neighbors in the midst of our jobs, in the midst of our careers, in our ministry, whatever we're doing, is to love others. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think it's really important that Jesus put it that way. He turned it back on ourselves and says, okay, I just want to put this in perspective. Because we know how we would like to be treated. You know when you're treated how you don't like to be treated, right? You hate that. So He's saying, you know, you should love others as you would want to be loved. As you, you know, would love yourself. Do the best. You wouldn't give yourself half measures, right? You're like, oh, I want the best. Well, love others that same way. He's putting it in perspective that that's the type of love that we're supposed to show to the world around us. And, you know, our interaction was so important. He said, there's no commandment greater than these. Like, just final, settled it. There's no commandment greater than these. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love others as ourselves. And so in the midst of our path and our journey with the Lord is we have to focus and let God work through us so that we do that. And it does take effort. It does take, applying ourselves to it. Just like that scripture in the beginning says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That doesn't say, you know, just walk blindly into it, it might happen. No, it's like, look for it. Now, I do this kind of a silly game with the students sometimes. We've done it a couple times over the years. And I tell the students when they get in, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out, and you are all going to be looking for it. They hate this one. You're going to be looking for it. And they're like, what is it? I'm like, you'll know it when you find it. And they're like, and I said, it's out here, and I give them the boundaries. I said, it's between this part, don't go on the road, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they go out, I said, you got 30 minutes, go look for it. And they're out there, and they're looking all over, and they're like, is this it? Nope, that's not it. I said, you'll know it when you find it. And it's like four little tiny rocks about the size of my thumb, and they say it on them in Sharpie. That's it. And I just tossed them out in the field out there. And they find them all. That's the crazy thing. They find them. So, but they have to look for them. They have to seek after them. And it's like, you know, you'll know it when you find it. And I, you know, have a lesson that goes with that, of course. But, you know, that's the intensity is that we've got to seek after the Lord. Seek after, you know, loving others with all that's within us. Every part of us. And so before I get to the third responsibility of this call, I wanted to, I think I might have skipped a slide, actually, but that's all right. We might do. Before I get to the third responsibility, I wanted to say something because I think maybe some of you are sitting there going, well, those are the great scriptures, Pastor Mike. I mean, that's awesome. Thank you for that. But I'm in a job and a career that just I hate. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't love it. But, you know, you don't consider that your calling. You're like, I'm just doing it. I got to make some money, whatever it is. But I want to take a minute and just say, if you're in that position, God's still using you. You're still on the path. You're still in the part of the plan. You may be like, I don't like this part of the plan. Well, sometimes things aren't pleasant. That's why it takes strength and decision of the mind to follow the Lord and say, you know what, no matter what I'm facing, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to serve God. And in the midst of all this, the scripture, you know, people hate this scripture, but anyway, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Yeah, thanks a lot. Right? I mean, you're like, oh, now great. Now it's a sin that I don't like my job. Well, I want to just tell you this, that God will use you right where you're at. I really think, and I don't want to pull in all the scripture for it, but Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel was taken into captivity. His whole nation was captured, and he was taken into captivity. Now think about that. And through it all, he served God. And I'm not, like I said, not going to go into all the details of the story, but through all of the stuff that he faced, all the trials, all of the things to try and pull him into the culture of his captors, he still served God in the midst of it. And God was faithful all the way through it and used him as a witness and a light to those around him, to the leaders and the people around him. And, you know, God is always faithful to that. So no matter where you're at, if you're in that job, you're like, I'm just looking for the next thing. Well, that's okay, because you still could be on the path. And there may be somebody in that place that needs to see the hope, the light of Jesus within you. Not the grumbling part, because there's another scripture that goes with that one. But they need to see the light, the hope, the joy that you have. And yes, I've worked in those jobs. I've been there. I know what you're going through. And it's not always pleasant. But God says, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Do the very best you can. And then be that light. You know, I don't know if that's comforting to you or not. I mean, because some of those jobs that we've gone through are not great. You know, I was thinking about Mike Rowan and Dirty Jobs. I was going to put a picture up there, and here's one. You know, you might have this terrible job, but you know what? Do it with all your heart. God will bless you for it. There is a reward because it's the Lord you're serving. And again, it has to do a lot less with what we're doing than who we are. It's more about who we are. And see, God has a bigger plan. You know, when we talk about that plan, we like to kind of put it just in our field, in our perspective, in my court. Like, this is a plan that applies to me. But we got to realize that His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher, that His plan is so much bigger. And you don't know for the reason that you're working in that job, or you're in that place, or you're in that career field for just such a time as to be a light to somebody else, to be a witness to them. And you know, Kim and I have gone through some stuff in our life where it's been, you know, some pretty tough situations with, you know, going through the flood and losing the house and all of that. And in the midst of that, you know, this is not fun. But in the midst of that, God gave us a peace about it. And I can't explain it. It really fits the scripture that goes beyond all understanding. And we've trusted Him through it. And our neighbors were like, how are you not like, you know, because they were like going to link arms with guns and stop the county from coming in. It was crazy. And they're like, how come you're not, you know, all upset? And I'm like, God's going to take care of it somehow. I don't know how, but I just trust him. And, you know, in the midst of all that, God had a plan. And in fact, in Acts 17:26, it says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. So wherever you're at right now today, God knows, he hasn't forgotten you. He's like, oh, that's right, they're working in that job. No, he knows exactly where you're at. He hasn't forgotten. He has a plan for you. And in fact, he's got a plan not only for you, but all the people that you're in contact with. You are probably in that place for such a time to be a light, to be a witness. And he says he's determined. He's appointed the times in history, the exact times in history, and the places where you would live, where you would work, where you would be an influence for a reason. It's not by accident. And so hopefully maybe that turns it a little bit. I know it doesn't make the job any better, but maybe that turns the perspective on what we're there for. And maybe we can say, you know what, God, I know I don't want to go this morning, and I don't want to get up, and I don't want to go into that job or that career, whatever it is. And sometimes you just feel like this is what I started doing, and now I'm stuck there, and there's no other opportunities for me. But God still has a plan in the midst of it. And maybe saying, God, help me this morning to realize that I'm a light in a dark place. Help me to maybe be that help to somebody who has no hope. Because we're sure living in a world that has lost hope and doesn't seem like it has a future. And we are the ones that God's called to be that light, to show the hope, the future that others could experience that relationship with God. And this brings me to the last responsibility, is that we're called to be a light in a dark world. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God calls us, he calls us to love him, to love others, and to be a light through the calling that he's placed on us, through our jobs, through our careers, wherever we find ourselves, we're the light of the world. And I was thinking about this morning, and just, you know, I've shared it with the students a couple times about just how God, you know, begins to pour into us as we start a relationship with him, as we commit our lives to him. And he cleanses us and he frees us from all kinds of stuff and puts joy in our heart and gives us a purpose, lets us know that he has a plan for us. I mean, and that's the beginnings. And he goes on from there, though, and he says, you know, you're also to love others. You're to give out this love that I've given to you and just to give it to others. And he just begins to pour his love into them. And, you know, the more that you give out, the more God pours back into you. You say, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be that light in my, you know, in this dark place where I work, where nobody seems to be serving God. And if you begin to love others, and it's gonna be so out of the norm. People are like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, hey, I'm just following what God wants me to do. You don't have to be weird about it. You can just be yourself. But I'm just saying, God wants to. He wants to just keep pouring into us, and you know, as he does that, it just spills out. You know, and if we focus on that primary thing, it's just water. If we focus on that primary thing of just letting, you know, like, you're getting it all over the stage now. Letting God pour into us, loving the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, no matter where we go, if we begin to get out and amongst our people, and we're going to share God's love. It's going to happen. That's the first thing. It's not about like, well, I've got to go out and witness. I've got to go out and evangelize. I've got to do this. No, just follow the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love others as yourself. And God will do it. He'll make you a light. I know this sounds like, well, this is super simple, but it really is that simple. See, if my relationship with God is filled up and overflowing, it's going to get on other people. Don't worry, it'll dry. For those listening to the tape, we're spilling water everywhere. Okay. And he's going to bless you as well. He's going to bless you as you share with others. He's going to bless others. He's going to cause them to see the light of the gospel in a whole different way because you really are and might be the only person, the only vision of Jesus that they see. And I said this before, you're Jesus with skin onto them. So God, help us to be that light. Help us to be as the worship team comes back up, help us to be that light that shines all throughout the darkness. And God, use us, no matter what career, no matter what job, no matter what field we find ourselves in, even if we don't think it's where we're supposed to be right now, understand that God knows exactly where we are, and He's going to use us in that. And so graduates, know that God is using you. He's going to use you. Focus on Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the rest of that God will take care of. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today, and we thank You for Your call on our lives. And